Well, good morning. Welcome to Sunday School. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll read one verse and then we'll pray and see what the Lord's got for us today. The one verse is one that's pretty familiar, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this blessed day. Lord, thank you for this church, and thank you for this property and the building and the comfortable seats and the air conditioner that's working and all the luxuries that we tend to take for granted. Father, thank you that we have a place to come where we have your words, we have your truth, and we've got pastors and teachers that believe this book and teach it just the way that you wrote it. And we're blessed in that, Lord. I pray today that you'll take the notes and the things that have been prepared for this Sunday school lesson and give us all something here that we can leave and know that we learned something that that we needed to know. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bring them up. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Last week when Pastor started in on, we've went through authority and we've went through talking about the marriage and how those things should be set up according to God's way. And we're starting to get in where people start really getting upset when you start talking about kids and what you should do about raising your kids and how you should raise them. And this verse here, when Pastor read this in his lesson last week, of course, I was back there just nervously trying to figure out what am I going to teach next week. I didn't hear anything else he said but this. And as soon as I got this, then I took off on looking for what he wanted to do. But when he read this deal, he said, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's not the nurture and admonition of Randy and Maureen. That's not the nurture and admonition of fill in the blank, put your name. That's God's nurture and God's admonition. So it's clear here in this verse that God wants these children to be brought up His way. His way. And I'll tell you right now, I got two of them. And I did it my way. And it's not a good story. It's really not. I wish... I told Maureen this the other day. I said, I wish before I'd started this, somebody would have stood up with God's words and told me how God wanted it done. And I would have, here's the important part, I would have decided to do it that way. Okay? Because God's way is not some weird, strange thing that is a new concept. There are actually some lost people that are doing it more God's way than some of God's people. Okay, so that's not the tie. But I had many failures because of this. You know, in Proverbs, you don't need to go there, Proverbs 18:30, the Bible clearly says God's way is perfect. Perfect. Okay, so there's no argument there. I want to do a quick illustration to start with. Let's see, I need some volunteers. Yes, Robert and Rowena. Oh, yeah, come on. You're sitting way back there. You need to get up here quick. Right here. We got a future mama right here. I think you're the next one in line, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, we look at children a lot different than the way God looks at them. Pastor mentioned last week that they are His heritage. You know, these kids are God's kids. Okay? Now, if God was to show up right now and hand both of y'all this, He hands it to you, and He says, I've got a purpose and a plan for that, and I want you to bring it up in my nurture and my admonition. I think you'd take that pretty seriously, wouldn't you? Yeah. Because... that's not yours. It's His. You see, you getting this? It's not his. Now he may give you one here, because this is live. Okay? Now he may give you one. Look at that leaf there. Look at that. He may give you one that's not healthy. But he made it. And he's got a plan and he's got a purpose for it. And all he is, well, I don't think Ephesians 6:4 is a suggestion. And I don't think it's if you'd like to or if you feel like it. I pretty much take that as a command to bring that up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So let's say that you do. You commit to that. You know, he gave you an instruction book. They say babies don't come with an instruction book. They do. Gave you an instruction book, said bring it up. Now, if this thing grows and grows and becomes a beautiful blooming plant, do you take all the glory for that? No, God takes the glory for that. Praise God. Now, if this thing grows up and becomes a blooming idiot, do you take the credit for that? No, it has a will. You don't want to give the credit to God for that one, huh? What I'm saying is that y'all look at Ephesians 6:4 one more time. There's not anything in that verse that God is commanding and giving you results to go with it. That verse is full of responsibility. The responsibility is to bring that up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Is that simple? And if we'll look at rearing children, or I'm going to get to the dirty word today, discipline. Yeah. If you do it God's way, that pleases Him. It really does. Now, and to take care of this, after I told you that God gave you that, do you think that you'd be pretty diligent about doing that? Do you think you'd be pretty delicate with that plant? Sure. Now, if Randy gave it to you, you'd take this thing and chunk it in the back of the truck and go to lunch, wouldn't you? Yeah. Thanks. Okay, thank you. That's what I wanted to show you. Yeah, those are the two points that we're going to look at today. In bringing them up His way, we're going to look at how to be diligent, which is very important. And how to be delicate, because it takes both. It takes both. Talking about diligent, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I forgot to make a point. You don't need to go back, but I want to make this point because I didn't want to forget it. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, it said, first that verse said, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, this is your responsibility. It doesn't say mothers. And a lot of the fathers, I've been one, they think that's the wife's work. No, it's the husband's responsibility. Okay, it's the husband's responsibility, and we'll see it takes two. But that verse is written, ye fathers. Deuteronomy chapter 6, look in verse 6. And these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them what? Diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. It said them, I don't know how many times, but what do you think them is? They shall talk of them, and thou shalt walk, you know, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them. What's them? Yeah, they're in your lap. God's words. The one of the first points here about being diligent is we need to be diligent to teach our children about God. Okay? If you're going to depend on the world to do it, you got a problem. A lot of us like depend on the Sunday school teachers to do it. And they get to see them an hour, maybe on Wednesday another hour. That's not going to cut it. That's going to reinforce it, but it's not going to cut it. This being diligent is steady application, constant effort, due attention. And if you want to raise a child up in the admonition of the Lord, God's way, then you're going to have to be diligent about it, and you're going to have to be diligent about teaching him God's word. You're in Deuteronomy 6, back up to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9 says, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul," there's that word again, "diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." You know, this speaks to, he's talking to the children of Israel, and he's talking to them, lest thou forget all the things you've seen God do. You know, part of this being diligent to teach your children about God and teach him about his words is also they need to see it in you. And you need to be able to give them examples of how you do the same thing. How you obey God, how you serve God, how you love God, how you put God first. These things, let me read this again. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and what? Thy sons' sons. So don't sit there today and tell me, we've made it. We made it across the finish line and they're out of the house and I'm done. No. No, there's grandchildren, there's sons' sons. In this church, this is a church family, so we kind of share a lot of this, a lot of these sons and daughters. So being diligent. You know, we'll go ahead and get to that dirty word since you're in Deuteronomy. Run to Job chapter 36. If you like to write in your Bible, Job chapter 36, and the verse we're looking for is verse 10, is the only place in your King James Bible the word discipline is mentioned. Okay? I'm going to read a little bit. We're going to start up in verse 5 and read a little bit here so you get some context of what Elihu's saying. Verse 5, "Behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with the kings are they on the throne. Yea, he does establish them forever, and they are exalted. And if they be bound in fetters and holden in cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work and their transgressions that they have exceeded. He openeth their ear to discipline." Look at that. "He opened their ear. He opened also their ear to discipline and commanded that they return from iniquity." Discipline, the first, when you look in the dictionary under the definition of discipline, the most common use of discipline is to educate or to instruct. It's not to punish or beat or any of that. Discipline is teaching. And we don't have enough discipline. And this teaching thing needs to be something that we are on all the time. We're diligent about it. So if you're going to be trying to raise your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, his way, then we need to be disciplined and we need to be diligent about teaching them about God and about his words. And another thing here is we need to teach them how to obey. How to obey. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents whenever it pleases you. Obey your parents only when they're there. Obey your parents whenever it suits you fine. No. Children, obey your parents in all things. Is there anything unclear about that? It's all things. It's total and complete obedience. Okay? Children, obey your parents in all things. Now look at the next part of this verse. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Do you know, if you don't know any other way to bring up your children in God's nurture and admonition in a way that would please God, guess what? If you teach your children to obey completely, that is pleasing to God. Well, I'm not getting a whole bunch of amens out of that. No, truly, when God sees a child that obeys their parents, he's pleased. When God sees a parent that has taught their children to obey, he's pleased. How many of y'all want to be there? Exactly. That is bringing up a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's his way. His way. Total obedience is God's way. Flip over to 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is a Bible study. This is Sunday school, so we're going to look at some scripture. Eli had a couple of wicked sons. They were helping him out at the temple, and they were doing all kinds of abominable things. And if you want to know all about it, you can read the previous chapter. But God didn't appreciate that. In 1 Samuel 3:13, he's talking to Samuel, and he's talking about Eli's sons, and he says, "For I have told him," that's Eli, "that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." He restrained them not. So if God is pleased when you require your children to obey, what do you think he feels like when you don't? Is he neutral on it and he's just waiting until the next time you please him? No, he's not happy about it. So what I'm trying to make the point here is that God's way is for obedience. Obedience. God's way is total obedience. He not only did this, he's given us a couple of verses, and you go, well, he did it for his own son. He did it for his own son. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, talking about Jesus Christ, it says, "Though he were a son, yet," look at this, "he learned he obedience by the things which he suffered." Jesus Christ learned to be obedient. And I guarantee you, if Jesus Christ needed to learn to be obedient, so do your children. Okay? And where are they going to learn? That falls on us. That falls on us. I just want to show you it, and this learning, teaching. I promised Pastor I wasn't going to use any more Rottweiler examples, because you people can't understand that a Rottweiler is a perfect example of a child. So I'm not going to use any. I just want to let you know. But it takes an extreme amount of diligence to train or teach anything. Okay? Turn to John chapter 8. I just want to show you one verse that I'm going to be like Brother Logan was. I'm going to take a verse out of context. But since I'm telling you, then it's okay. Okay? chapter 8, verse 29 of John. This is Jesus Christ. He says, "And he that sent me is with me." Look at this. "The Father has not left me alone." There's some diligence. "For I do always those things that please him." There's some obedience. Okay? And so, the first point I'm trying to make here is if we're going to raise our children up in God's way, then we are going to have to be diligent about teaching them about the things of God and diligent about making them obey. Okay? Now, the fun part. Some practical stuff here. I've started out and I thought, we can give you all kinds of theory about how to raise up your kids, but you need something practical, something that you can use. And so I my mind automatically went too practical. Okay, I can guarantee you if little Johnny comes in and tells a lie, there's not a scripture in here that tells you how many times to spank him or make him sit in the corner or take his favorite toy away for an hour. That's not in here. Okay, that's far too practical. But we're going to get to how that works in a minute. But we're going to give you, I want to tell you something. Last week, Pastor mentioned something that that a parent needs to always win. There's a battle of wills. There's a battle of wills, okay? One thing you need to be diligent about and you need to teach your child is this: authority always wins. Yeah. So a lot of shaking heads and all this, but when authority always wins. A child should never learn that they can win. Oh, you're being too hard. No, no. A child should never learn that they can win. A child, from the second it's born, its number one job, number one existence is to please itself. That's why when it gets wet, it cries. And you know what it does when it learns that it cries and everybody in the house comes running? That works. So, I'm hungry. Wah! Everybody in the house comes running. It works. I want the candy bar at HEB. Wah! I get the candy bar. You don't have to train a child to do this. And see, the thing about it is, you all know this because you were one. Okay? You were one. But when you allow a child to know that he can win, you're backing up. And what you're doing is you are actually teaching them that authority doesn't always win, that I can win. How does that work in your life? We're teaching them, we're training them to come up and be adults. I can tell you right now, I know right now standing here without any of that, that authority wins. And it's something that every child needs to do. Now, there's going to be some exceptions. We're the authority. And believe it or not, I've made a mistake once. But I can't. Maureen keeps trying to bring it up, and I don't remember what it was. But there are some exceptions. Authority always wins. Every once in a while, we're going to be wrong. The blessed thing is your Father in heaven is never wrong. His ways are perfect. But we got a problem. And when you do make a mistake, then all you do is apologize. You don't have to pretend you didn't have one and because they know you made a mistake too. So you apologize. Sometimes it is very proper to give mercy. And we're talking about children, we're talking about discipline, we're talking about them obeying every command. But every once in a while, mercy's a good thing. I'll stand in line for mercy any day. But it should be the exception, not the rule. It should be the exception, not the rule. When you do fail, every time there's anything in your rearing of a child, and you're trying to teach that child that authority always wins, and you make a mistake or you fail at it, and when you get to the end of any kind of scene or action or thing here, you should always ask yourself, who won? Who won that last deal? And if you didn't win it, you don't throw out the flag, the white flag, give up, and just say, well, we'll try on the next one. No, you can stop and you can start over again. Okay? You just get up and start again. Are you getting this? I mean, you don't have to throw. It's not fatal. There's no fatal mistakes here. In this practical application of authority, always wins. Here's one issue. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 32. This I see all the time. Exodus chapter 32, we've got the account of when Moses went up Mount Sinai and left everybody there, and Aaron, they got a little moany, groany, and mouthy, and then Aaron got them to take off their rings, and you know the story. They made a molten calf, and it was a mess. And when Moses was coming down, he told Joshua, "What's that sound I hear?" And, you know, it was a bad deal. Well, look what Moses said when Aaron has made two golden calves and allowed the children. He was put in charge, by the way. He was the authority. And now Moses shows back up, and all this has happened. Look what he says in verse 21. Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? What did they do? He led, and we do the same thing. He led with a question that allowed Moses to have an excuse. What did these people do unto thee? We do the same thing. I hear it. He didn't have a nap today. Right? Or he's not been feeling good. Or those other kids, he got tied up with those other kids. So what did they make you do? And this is exactly what Moses did. He set Aaron up to give excuses. And so what did Aaron do? He used them. Okay? If your child has just done something disobedient and you go up and ask him, what did your sister make you do? Do you think he's not going to jump on the chance of blaming it on his sister? Moses didn't hit a lick. Look in verse 22. 22. And Aaron said, let not thy anger of thy Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. He laid it right on the people. Okay? When that didn't work, verse 23. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. And as for Moses, that man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what had become of him. You know what? He blamed it on the people. And then he said, threw it in. You know, you were gone a long time. It was probably Moses' fault. Okay? And then the most unbelievable excuse in your Bible. Verse 24. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave me it. Then I cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf. He blamed it on the people. He blamed it on Moses. And then he blamed it on the gold. But we ain't blaming it on me. And we approach our children the same way. We do it. I see people doing it. I've done it myself. You know, when your child disobeys or does something wrong, there should only be two questions that you ask. What did you do? Did you know it was wrong? What did you do? Did you know it was wrong? There's a point right there to teach. There's a point right there to explain them. If they didn't know it was wrong, to tell them it's wrong. If they knew it was wrong and they want to lie to you about it, there's a time to get a hold of that. But that's where you do it. You don't be careful with the questions that you ask your children. They're actually smarter on some of this stuff than you are. Okay? Moses came down. This guy just got through meeting with God. And he comes down and, what did this people unto thee? He had total trust in his poor little Moses. And that's the problem with every one of us. We have the total trust and confidence in our little ones that they would not lie, they would not steal, they would not cheat. They will lie, they will steal, they will cheat. Okay? All right. Practical application. Another trend today that as far as, and you got to be diligent about this. You got to be diligent about this. Is this thing where we are empowering our children by encouraging them to make their own choices. Okay? They are not old enough to make their own choices. When you allow a 2 or 3 year old child to decide what he or she is going to eat, and then you go prepare that for them to eat, you have just taught that child that their will is supersedes yours. For you, it's a matter of convenience because you know they will only eat grilled cheese sandwiches. And so you know they're going to say grilled cheese sandwich. And so you just soon go fix a grilled cheese sandwich then fight over this thing. And that's where you lose the diligence. The diligence is, Johnny, we're not having grilled cheese sandwiches today. We are having BLTs. Well, I don't like BLTs. Well, then you're going to be real hungry by the next meal and you'll eat whatever we eat then, you know? I don't know how you do it, but we can't allow the children to make their own choices. They're not ready to. We're supposed to be training them up. We're supposed to be bringing them up, okay? Making a 3-year-old a real independent thinker is a disaster, okay? Please believe me that. Are we having fun yet? All right, that's the first deal on this practical. We're talking about being diligent. You need to be diligent to teach them about God and His words. You need to be diligent to teach them to obey. And part of that is, this is what you teach them, that authority always wins. Always wins. Here's number two. Authority always wins, and this is a biggie. Disobedience brings pain. Disobedience brings pain. How many of y'all are 21 years or older and you know that disobedience brings pain? Have you ever been pulled over by a Department of Public Safety officer? That's painful. Okay? It's painful. You learn this, you experience this in life, so a child needs to learn this so that they're always obedient to authority. Because they're going to find out that disobedience brings pain. There's a verse similar to that in the Bible. It says, the wages of sin is death. Okay? I couldn't find in there anywhere where you're supposed to kill your children except back when they used to stone them when they got out of line. So you can't, it's a little exaggerated. But disobedience brings pain. Disobedience brings pain. Listen to this. When the displeasure parents bring into a child's life for disobedience is stronger than the pleasure that comes from the disobedience, then the disobedience will stop. Is that profound? We all know that. Let me read it again. When the displeasure parents bring into a child's life for disobedience is stronger than the pleasure that comes from the disobedience, then the disobedience will stop. I'm a believer. That's exactly what God does to me. That's what Maureen does to me. Yo, I got a bigger reaction out of the husbands on that one. Yeah. Yeah. Whenever the disobedience brings pain, the goal of this is correction, correct? We want to correct them, we want to train them, we want to bring them up God's way. We got to be diligent. Okay, turn to Proverbs 22. You've been waiting for me to go there. Proverbs 22, verse 15. The Bible says, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. Look at this. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. It says rod of correction. It does not say rod of punishment. Okay? The second someone gets up, or even God, it's punishment. It's that same old deal. Once you've decided something, and you've decided in your head that that's this and I don't like that and I'm not going to do this, yeah, then anybody that brings up the fact that the Bible says that this is a rod of correction, then you instantly turn it off. You instantly turn it off. The goal here is correction. It's not punishment. It's not vengeance. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I shall repay. None of that is involved in this child. It should never be done in anger. You're in Proverbs 22, aren't you? Yeah, go to, let's see, yeah, verse 8. Proverbs 22:8, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger, what, shall fail. When you use that rod of correction, but you use it in anger, you are doing just the opposite of what you should be doing. You are doing damage instead of trying to help your child. Turn to Proverbs 13:24. I'm still on diligent. We ain't got to delicate, and I'm running out of time. Okay. 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That means before it's too late. So according to this verse, if you spare this rod of correction, you hate your son. So the opposite of that is if you love your son, you're going to correct him. And you're going to be diligent about it. And you're going to, it's not written here, but think about this. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Okay, right there you can prove the love for your son by correcting your son. Right? You can also prove your obedience to God. That's what that's doing. You're proving your obedience to God. You know, I if I don't get to the rest of it, fine. I just want to tell you this. If Rowena and Robert, or Robert and Rowena, the Peñas, if they can stand here and understand the fact that God is going to hand something off to them that belongs to Him, and that He has a way that He wants this child raised up. He wants it brought up in His nurture and in His admonition. And you take that, and because of the way you were brought up, you decide, well, I ain't doing this, and I ain't doing that, and I ain't doing this. Do you understand that you're saying that to God? You're telling God that you know more about raising a child than He does. You're telling God that you know more about raising His child than He does. I mean, if somebody would have told this to me before I tried to raise children, as stupid as I was, I think I at least would have understood the enormity of this project, the seriousness, the diligence that I need to put into this thing. Somebody say amen, you get it. Yeah. No, this is serious business. And when you choose to know more than God knows, God help you. God help you. All right. You can get the okay. I got to get this. There's an example of I listened to one man preach on some of this, and he had an example. A lady in his church had a 1-year-old child, and she liked to do what most 1-year-old childs do. He liked to go in the kitchen and open the cabinet and start getting the pots out and bang around and play with the pots. Hee hee, fun fun. But she didn't want him to do that. Now, she's the authority, and he needs to learn that authority always wins. So he goes to the cabinet, he starts, and she goes, no, and she swats him on the hand. And he looks at her, cries a little bit, and then he reaches and does it again. Has anybody ever seen a kid do that? Yeah. So she grabs his hand, swats it, and says no. He shakes it off. He does it again. Has anybody seen a kid do that? Yeah. They did this for an hour. For 1 hour, they did this. Finally, he understood that she was going to win, and he wasn't. Now, that was an hour out of this person's life, and that takes some diligence. And I think one of our problems are there's not a soul in this room that doesn't want to raise their child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But I don't know there's many of us that want to take the time It's inconvenient. It's inconvenient. When you're at the grocery store and your child is it's disruptive, disobedient, mainly because they got a crowd, got an audience. You got a basket full of groceries, and you know this child needs to be corrected. The correct thing to do, leave the bag of groceries, go home and correct the child. It's inconvenient. But the child needs to learn that authority always wins, okay? I'm going to give you about 2 minutes of the last part, and you can look up the notes. The next part, besides being diligent, is to be delicate. You can't, you know, I've explained this part as best I can, but being diligent and being delicate, you would think would be opposites. They pull apart, but they have to work together. Being delicate is being tender, being gentle. Turn to Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29:21 says, "He that delicately," here we are, delicately, be delicate, "bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length." Think about that. If you're delicate, if you're tender, if you're gentle in this rearing of a child, this guy wasn't even a blood relative. He was a master, and that young man became a son to him. Being delicate builds relationships. Mothers are usually a lot better than this than fathers. But that's why there's two of y'all in this union raising this child. Paul knew this. You can look at the notes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, about 3 through 7. He talks about his relationship with the people in this church, how he nurtured them as a nurse. Okay, he knew the gentleness. This being a drill sergeant and shouting commands is not gonna make it work. They need to know that there's a loving father that cares for them and take care of this. Pastor mentioned a scripture last. I'm just going down the notes. Y'all can look at my. Pastor mentioned a scripture last week, Psalm 18:35, where David said about God, "Thy goodness has made me great." Thy goodness has made me great. Imagine that. David said this. Do you think David is calling that goodness? I believe it has something to do with those sure mercies of David. God had surely gave David some mercy. He was good to David. The main point in this being delicate is you want to bring this child up in a way that they understand that authority always wins. They understand that disobedience brings pain. But I got this way with my mom. That I don't know when it happened, but I finally got to a place in my relationship to my mom that I'd never wanted to do anything to break her heart. Boy, if you can get there with the Lord and give that to your kids, they're getting something. When they can get to a point on obedience where they don't do it because there's a penalty, they do it because there's love. That's delicate. That's gentle. So, that's it. Now I got to stop. I keep going. But I hope you got something out of that. God gives us those children. He hands them off, and he gives us an instruction book, and he expects us to bring them up his way, not our way. And that's normally the big breakdown. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to look in your book and learn some more about how you want your children raised. I pray that it'll be a help. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.